sit here now, Mrs. Allen.
Thank you. I don't want to be any trouble.
Oh, you're no trouble at all, love. Now, you just keep your pecker up as best you can. The coroner won't take long. Just a formality.
Well, Sergeant Malley.
Yes, sir.
What is it, then? What is it?
God save us. It's an inquest, sir.
What?
It's the body you just viewed, Mr. Appleby, sir. The young lad in the mortuary.
Oh, dear.
And what about him?
He's dead, sir. Sorry, Mrs. Allen.
I know that. I could tell that. Let's get on with it, then.
Dr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Honestly, gets worse with keeping. Doesn't know where he is half the time.
Advanced senile dementia. Still, miracle for his age, I suppose.
Well, I don't believe in miracles any more than I believe in him. Would you like to give your bit? Dr. Ferguson, sir?
Well, yes. Yes. Well?
I examined the body in question in Flaxford General Hospital. In my opinion, death was due to cranial fracture and laceration of the brain, consistent with the deceased's having been involved in a collision between two vehicles.
Well?
That's all, sir.
All?
Yes.
Oh, right, you can go.
Doctor's fee, sir?
What?
You've got to give the doctor his fee, sir.
I suppose we have to. Here you are. Think I should have been a doctor instead of a coroner. Money for a rope.
Thank you.
Well, next.
Now, Mrs. Allen.
Yes?
Come forward just a little, Mrs. Allen. She's very upset, sir.
Why?
The boy was her son, sir.
We don't know that yet, do we? That's what we're here to establish, surely. Well?
Mrs. Allen, you've seen the body in the mortuary of Flaxburgh General Hospital.
Yes.
And is it that of your son, Percy Thomas Allen, aged 18 years, an assistant storekeeper?
Yes.
What? Speak up!
Yes, sir. Beg pardon, sir.
One of these days. Who lived with you at 5 George Street, Flaxburgh?
Yes.
Thank you, Mrs. Allen. That's all now.
Just a minute.
What do you want now? Straightforward adjournment for 7 days, surely.
I said just a minute.
Yes, sir.
Not you, her.
Me?
Yes, you. You've been writing letters to me.
I beg pardon, letters?
Letters, sir.
Letters. Well, answer, woman, have you been writing letters to me?
He's really gone this time.
There
haven't been any letters, sir. You mustn't question the lady like that.
I asked you whether you had written to me. You must know, woman.
I haven't written to nobody, sir.
Hey?
She says she hasn't written to anybody, sir. Not anybody. There hasn't been a letter, sir.
Oh, hasn't there? Here. Look. Did you send this to me?
You go on home, Mrs. Allen.
Here. Did you write this?
I'll take that, sir, shall I? What's it all about now? My dear friend, this is an urgent appeal. I'm in great danger. The person whose loyal and faithful companion I have been and to whom even now my life is dedicated and tends to have me done away with, I can scarce... I know that murder is going to... Oh, it's some hoax, sir. Somebody having a joke. I'd better get him home.
Just you get your coat on, sir, and I'll drive you home.
Honestly.
I'll see to Mrs. Helm. Come along, Mrs. Helm. I leave you to look after the coroner, Sergeant. Busy time for the old devil as well. I mean, 2 corpses this week.
Two. And you mark my words, there'll be another yet. Corpses always come in threes.
Charities. The trouble we have with these flaming charities.
Huh? What was that, Governor?
Oh, please don't call me Governor, Sid. Makes me feel like Sexton Blake.
Sorry, Inspector Purbright.
What I mean is, why are people involved in charities so...
Uncharitable?
I was going to say violent. They all seem to be at war with each other. And there are so many of them. And look at this, Sid. There are 43 known species of charity in Flaxburgh alone. There are 18 doggy ones to start with. There are another 7 devoted to the welfare of other domestic animals, and 6 to the protection of wild ones. Then there are the aged, the orphans, the fallen gentlewomen, and the Society for the Christianization of Mongolia.
Why do you say they're at war with each other, though?
Well, they seem to suffer the same sorts of paranoia that drive countries to Armageddon. I mean, the arrangement of a flag day or the timing of a fete are every bit as bitterly disputed as an Agincourt or a Cressy.
Of course, it's quite a smart thing to be on one of those committees.
Oh, yes. Well, that's the trouble. Every would-be knob in town, including every single member of the town council, is on one. Still, it's the recipients I feel sorry for. The dogs, the old people. Imagine being patted on the head by Mrs. Henrietta Palgrove.
What? The old people?
No, the dogs. Then there are the orphans.
Oh, the orphans seem able to look out for themselves. Councillor Winge is forever patting them on the head to get his picture in the paper. He's been bitten 4 times since Christmas. Have we been having complaints again?
No, we're always getting complaints. There's been a change, though, and I don't quite like it. Hostilities are beginning to bear the marks of professional generalship. There's a new organisation set itself up in St. Anne's Gate, calls itself the Flaxborough and Eastern Counties Charities Alliance.
Sounds very impressive.
Oh, yes. And who do you think the secretary of this alliance is?
Who?
A certain Miss Lucilla Edith Cavill Teatime.
Our Miss Teatime?
Could there be another? It's our Miss Teatime, all right. And what's she up to this time, I wonder?
Hello?
Shan't be a minute.
This is the Flaxborough and Eastern Counties Charities Alliance?
Yes, yes. Please sit down. I've just come.
And have I the pleasure of addressing Miss Lucilla Edith Cavill Teatime?
Oh, yes, Mortimer Hyde.
Lucy!
My dear old chum.
I'm come bearing gifts.
Oh.
This was always your tipple, I know. Highland fling, 10 years old.
Oh, Mortimer, how sweet of you to remember my little twinges.
Nonsense. Any doctor would have done the same.
Doctor? You're not still trying that line, are you?
Alas, no. Fill gap. Not one of my best ideas.
You are intrinsically too honest, my dear, ever to pass convincingly as a doctor. In any case, that bravura of yours was bound to let you down.
You said so, Lucy. You said so at the time.
But tell me, you haven't returned to your former occupation, have you? I told you long ago that the physically taxing life of a professional correspondent, especially one who has passed into legend and from whom such great things are expected, is not one for a man of your years.
Lucy, as I told you then, I am in my prime. Mm. Just look at me, surely.
Ah, yes, Mortimer. The looks are as dashing as ever, but the deeds expected of one in the bedroom call for a great deal of...
Lucy!
Dear Mortimer, you're still as handsome as a film star. But then film stars, like policemen, get younger these days.
Ah, you're right, Lucy. He's just as he always were in the old days. He always knew when a game was drawing to a close. Always knew just when to blow the whistle. Before the police arrived blowing down.
But what are you doing in life? And what are you doing in Flaxborough? And are the two connected?
They are. I am here on an assignment. Mm. I am, Lucy, a dick.
I beg your pardon?
A gumshoe, a private eye, a detective.
What an excellent use for your time-honoured and proven skills in creeping stealthily in the vicinity of bedrooms. You don't object to drinking Highland Fling from a teacup?
Oh, certainly not. If you're not going to offer me your supper, a teacup will have to do.
Here's to you, my dear.
Here's to both of us. Tea time and Hive, the old firm.
Excuse me, Inspector.
Yes, Ed.
There's a lady here who would like a word with you. Says she's the secretary of the KKK.
I didn't know the Ku Klux Klan had set up a branch in Flaxborough. Not wearing a white hood, is she?
No, is the... Oh, hang on. Here it is. Kindly Kennel Club.
Huh.
Hasn't got a hood on, though. Just one of those peaked hats that looks as if it's designed to deflect falling masonry. Name of Mrs. Palgrove.
Oh, no. Not Mrs. Henrietta Palgrove.
I didn't ask her first name. She doesn't seem the sort you'd ever call by her first name.
No, she isn't. Still, better shore in.
This way, Mrs. Palgrove. This is Inspector Purbright.
I know that boy. I'll come straight to the point, Inspector.
Please do, Mrs. Palgrove.
It is our flag day, and some perfectly dreadful things have been happening.
Really? Oh, dear. Do sit down.
Does the boy have to remain?
I think that Detective Sergeant Love ought to hear what you have to say.
Detective Sergeant? Doesn't look old enough to be a Boy Scout.
Well, now, and What are these dreadful things, Mrs. Palgrove?
Let us not beat about the bush, Inspector.
Let us not, Mrs. Palgrove.
My organization's name has been brought into disrepute by a trick. A very nasty trick. Certain unauthorized persons have been passing themselves off as our flag sellers.
Today, you mean?
Of course, today. I have lost no time in letting you know, so you must do something about it.
Perhaps you can be a little more specific, Mrs. Palgrove. Can you tell me where any of these people are operating?
No, I cannot.
You haven't actually seen any of them yourself, then?
A number of people have come into the Flag Day HQ. They have complained very bitterly, as well they might, although we ourselves, of course, were in no way to blame.
It might be of some assistance if you were to tell me what they were complaining about.
Seems it's some of the flags that have been the trouble, sir. I think they've given offence.
Perhaps if you could tell us about that, Mrs. Palgrove.
Unauthorised emblems, very like our own, but quite unauthorised, have got into circulation. There are words on them.
Aren't there words on yours?
Not these.
I see.
They are, as you might say, messages, printed very boldly upon a clever imitation of our emblem. Perhaps message is not quite the right description there.
No?
No. Invitations, and of the most embarrassing kind.
Like affairs, I think she means, sir. Or the seaside. You know, on funny hats.
Funny hats?
Like kiss me quick, that sort of thing. Only a bit earthier.
Oh, I say, you are awful.
I know I am, dear lady. Large brand of water, please. But why do you say so?
Well, there. That badge you're wearing. Well, really, I never did. Here's your brandy. What a thing to be wearing.
This? I bought this from a flag seller. Some charity for the aid of man's best friend, I think.
Is that what they call it? Take it up and have a look at it. The water's in the jug.
Well, certainly. I can't sink water.
Well, you've got a... Well... Great big...
Good heavens, so it does.
And that you can... Well, really.
I thought I'd been receiving some strange looks.
Well, I should think so, with an advertisement like that on your lapel. Bragging about... Well, I mean...
Yes, and what do you mean?
Well, people... Women would be wondering if it was true, wouldn't they?
Yes, I suppose they would. I wonder if you'd care to join me in a drink, my dear.
Oh, well...
And tell me, my dear, are you wondering if it's true?
You wanted to see me, Chief Constable?
Ah, Mr. Pervright. Yes, nice to see the rain eased off. Well, come in. Now then, Deirdre, leave Inspector Pervright alone. She's pleased to see you, Pervright.
Quite mutual, sir.
Yes, he's an affectionate little thing, isn't she?
Oh, most loving, sir.
Yeah. Well, Deirdre, now then, Pervright, what is all this about some woman expecting to be poisoned or drowned or something?
I'm afraid I'm not quite with you, sir.
Oh, aren't you? Well, I've had this letter, do you see? I thought you might know something about it.
No, sir.
You don't?
No.
I see. Well, it's a bit chewed up now, I'm afraid. Deirdre thought it was for her, didn't you, Deirdre? Yes, well, it might just be a bit of silliness, you know.
Oh, of course, sir.
Look, perhaps I'd better read it to you. It's not signed, you know, and I can't think offhand of anyone who'd normally address me as my dear friend. Well, never mind, though it goes like this. My dear friend, this is an urgent appeal. I am in great danger. The person whose loyal and faithful companion I have been, and to whom even now my life is dedicated, intends to have me done away with. Done away with. I can scarcely believe his change of heart, but I have heard the plan discussed and must believe it, however unwillingly. They do not think I understand what is going on. Of course I understand. I can sense when I am in the way. And I know that murder is going to be the reward for my uncomplaining loyalty. A poisoned pellet in my food,
a quick injection, perhaps to be held helpless under water by a loved hand until I drown. One or other of these dreadful fates will overtake me if you, dear friend, do not bring aid. I cannot, for reasons you will understand, sign this letter, but I enclose my photograph in the hope that your heart may be touched.
Sure. I gather you don't take this letter seriously.
Why do you say that?
Ah, you do take it seriously, then.
Oh, well, everything must be judged on its merits, Mr. Pertwright. I mean, here is a letter, unsigned, addressed to me by somebody or other who thinks they're going to be murdered, or says they do. And what do you propose to do about it, Well, I suppose you want to examine it for fingerprints and so forth.
I think the only fingerprints it will have on it now, Chief Constable, will be yours. And, of course, Deirdre's.
Ah. Yes, I see what you mean.
And the photograph, sir?
Photograph?
Or the writer speaks of enclosing a photograph.
Oh, bless my soul. Yes. Oh, I hadn't thought of that. No, no. There definitely wasn't a photograph. Oh, let go of Inspector Pertwright, Deirdre. There's a dear. Deirdre.
Good girl.
She is very fond of you, Pertwright.
Dover?
That's right.
Hastings here. All right, if I make my report.
Just a minute. Well, yes.
I commenced observation of Carrie at only 20 hours when she left the house accompanied by a large dog. She went to a park near the river, apparently in order to let the dog have some exercise and relieve itself, which it did.
Was it liver and white?
Well, I didn't actually examine
it. The dog, liver and white.
Oh, the dog. Ah, yes.
Fine animal, didn't you think?
Most captivating.
All right, carry on.
Carrie remained in the park until 09:30 hours. It was raining heavily for part of the time. And
she didn't let the dog get wet, did she?
No, she took it into a shelter. The only shelter. And sat there until the rain stopped. I was able to observe that no one made contact with the subject while she was in the park. Afterwards, she went into several shops and returned home at 10:15 hours, when I took the opportunity of returning briefly to my my hotel and changing her dry clothes.
Well, go on.
At 11:00 hours, Carrie came out of the house and continued on foot into town. She entered a tea shop called the Willow Plate and was joined almost immediately by a woman whom I suggest we codename Dieppe.
What did she look like?
Brilliant table legs, poor soul, but a vivacious manner, spectacles of a somewhat bizarre transatlantic cast, light fluffy hair, loud voice, 35 or so.
I think I know who it was.
A vodka and lime sort of woman, a virgin for a ducat.
That need to be offensive.
Offensive?
Never mind. Go on. Did you hear what they were talking about?
Well, some of it, certainly. I succeeded in finding the seat of the next alcove thing to theirs. It is that kind of tea shop, you know. And I was able to take notes of parts of the conversation until nearly 1,200 hours, when they left separately. Calais was very difficult to hear. Dieppe was not. I received what you might call the drift. Shall I summarise it for you?
I simply want to know what arrangement they made. I take it that an arrangement was made.
Oh, yes, indeed. Briefly, it is this. Dieppe is to travel this afternoon to Nottingham.
What is Nottingham the code for?
Well, nothing. Nottingham is just Nottingham.
Oh. So long as we know.
She's going there today by train. She'll book a single room at the Trent Towers Hotel, but in Calais's name, not her own. She'll not leave again until tomorrow morning, when she'll book out, do some shopping, and catch the 11 o'clock train back to Flaxborough. At Flaxborough Station, Dieppe will be met by Calais, to whom she will give the things she has bought, together with the hotel receipt.
You have done rather well, Mr. Hastings.
Oh, it's all part of the job, Mr. Dover. But there is more. I subsequently followed Calais to the reference room of the public library, and saw her deposit a piece of paper in a book. When she'd gone, I went to the same book. It was a musical score of the Barton Pride, most appropriate, I thought. It was a message to Folkestone, which read, "All fix for tonight. Wait at cottage."
Ah, wait at cottage?
Yes.
Excellent. And you know
there.
And you know what you have to do?
I do, and I'm fully prepared. My camera is loaded, and I'm straight into the niche, as they say.
Let me show you do it.
Hello? Dover? Hello?
Got to go to Leicester tonight.
Leicester? Why should you want to go to Leicester?
I don't want to go to Leicester. I said I have to. Business.
Funny business.
Well, what's that supposed to mean?
You'll be late back, then.
Lord, I'm not dragging back here the same night. I'll stay over. Perhaps Tony can put me up.
Tony?
Well, he's with Hardy Livingstone. You know him. Drives a Porsche.
You can't just drop in on people like that. They aren't hotel keepers.
Tony won't mind. His wife won't either.
And what is it you're going to do in Leicester?
Oh, something to do with machinery. Wouldn't mean anything to you.
It means something to me that without any warning you clear off to stay with some people or other I've never heard of.
But you have heard of Tony. Tony Wilcox. Bloody hell, you met him at the firm's dinner a year ago. 2 years, maybe.
2 years ago?
Yes.
You went on your own 2 years ago. I was having that sinus operation.
Well, three then. What the hell does it matter?
Quite a lot, judging from the way you're taking refuge in bad language. It's the same when you have something to hide.
Oh, for crying out loud, woman!
I may be a woman, but I object to being referred to as such, and I will not tolerate your bad temper. I'm already extremely upset at those acts of sabotage.
Sabotage? What sabotage?
You see, you don't even listen to me. I've been telling you about it all through lunch, and you haven't heard a word. The KKK has...
KKK? Oh, for Pete's sake.
No, you don't care. Well, go to Leicester there and stay with this Tony or whatever her name is.
Her?
You needn't think you can fool me. All you can think about is following your filthy little pursuits in Leicester.
Once and for all, woman!
Honestly, you didn't need to come with me.
It's no trouble.
I'm quite capable of catching a train to Nottingham on my own. Not even as if we've anything to say to each other. I shall be back tomorrow when I've done my shopping. I told you there'd be plenty of room. I told you you didn't need to come.
Doreen! Doreen! Oh, it is you. I thought it was you, but I don't understand. What are you doing here? Hello.
Hello, Brenda.
He just insisted on seeing me off. I'm just going over to Nottingham, you see. Stay overnight, do some shopping.
Oh, what a coincidence. I'm going to Nottingham, too. I was going to. Well, I thought I'd...
What's happened?
I don't know.
He insisted on seeing me off.
What are we going to do?
We both have to go to Nottingham, that's all.
But I...
Well... I suppose we can travel together.
Yes, I...
We'd better get on.
Yes.
Well, goodbye, dear. You know about your supper. Just wants heating through. See you tomorrow, then. Yes?
Sid, do you happen to know of anyone in this town who goes in fear of assassination?
Oh, let's see now. Oh, yes. I can think of 8 or 9.
Well, somebody's been writing to the chief constable. There, on the desk. Have a look.
My dear friend. Murder. Poison pellet. Quick injection. Well written.
That shortens your list, does it?
Does away with it altogether. None of the ones I know could have put this together. Not on their own.
The paper's a bit out of the ordinary.
Glassy.
You could try Dawson's later. See if they stock it and if they can remember who's bought any. It's more likely a hoax than not, but we'd better check it out.
Do you know, I reckon a woman wrote it.
You think so?
Well, look, I mean, things like loyal and faithful companion. See? And loved hand. And ear. Heart may be touched. Well, I mean, it must be a woman, mustn't it?
I suppose the phraseology is on the romantic side.
It's downright sloshy.
You may be right, Sid.
This woman. There's more than just one trying to do her in. Here. You see, they think I do not understand. That's what she says. They. So there must be two of them.
At least.
Oh, aye. Well, Oh, I don't know, though. Two's the usual, surely. The husband and his bit on the side.
There's one thing I don't understand at all. Why does she say she can't sign the letter? Presumably, she'd have been immediately identifiable from the photograph that was supposed to be enclosed.
Not that.
But then, she didn't enclose the photograph. Though there are holes at the top corner, like pin marks, as if she'd pinned it on and took it off.
Well, she must have changed her mind.
Possibly.
Unless? Unless somebody tampered with her mail.
Ah.
There you are.
Evening, Sergeant Malley.
Now then, young Sid. I've got something here as I thought might interest you two.
Well, what's that, then?
Well, a letter. Or rather, a pair of letters.
Two letters?
Matching pair. First one was written to old Amblesby, the coroner, asking him for help. Well, I mean, who in the right mind had asked that old fart for help? Especially if they really were going to be murdered.
Murdered?
Exactly, Sid. I thought it was just an hoax. I was going to chuck it away, then blow me, but Jack Lynch, editor of the Citizen, just pops in with another letter. And that one's a dead ringer for the first. Here, look. Same grey paper. Same talk of poisoning or drowning.
But that's...
Same pinholes in the top corner.
Well, yeah, now you mention it. Look.
And no photograph.
That's right. Though in both cases, the writer says this is going to be. But how did you know?
Well, same as this one. Yeah. Check them out, Sid.
Blimey, you mean there's three of them?
This one was sent to the chief constable.
My dear friend, this is an urgent appeal. I'm in great danger. The person who's... Blimey. Another of them.
Sure thing, Governor. All exactly the same. Three of them.
This is it, then. I knew it. They always come in threes.
What do? Letters?
No. Corpses.
Charity Ends at Home by Colin Watson was dramatised by Christopher Dennis. John Rowe played Purbright, Paul Downing, Love, Anne Rye, Lucy Teatime, and Geoffrey Banks, Mortimer Hive. Robin Polly was Mally, Graham Roberts, Chubb, Russell Dixon, Ferguson, Tricia Wilcox, Mrs. Hallam, Rosemary Chamney, Mrs. Paul Grove, and Catherine Hunt, Helen. The director in Manchester was Tony Cliff.